Well, good morning. I am so glad to see you. Look at the people in here. Wow. All of you. And you look so nice, too. Look at the person next to you and say, you look so nice. If you're single, this could be your chance right here. Because that's just the kind of guy I am. I'm trying to help you out. Now, what's the deal? People, we got people on the front row, right up here on the front row. And over here, there's not one person on the front row. Did you know that this is actually the back row? We just put it up here to mess with you. So those of you who like to sit on the back row, you missed your chance. It's right here. I'm so glad you're here. We want to welcome you and those who are worshiping with us online today. And I'm glad that you came. It's November, right? And you're here. How many of you are going to No Shave November? Anybody going to do that? Okay, I'm not. I have a thought. There's a thought that came to my mind, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to use restraint, because if my wife Laura were here, she would say, no, you can't say that. So now the whole sermon, you're going to wonder, okay, what were you going to say then, right? Ask me after church, okay? But I'm so glad that you're here. Now look, we're going to talk about love gives. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. How many of you believe that? Amen. More blessed to give than it is. How many of you are honest and you say, I know I'd like to receive? That's what I want. Yeah, there you go. Honest people, that's what I want. Okay, because we're going to talk about that, and we're going to see Jesus said, you know, why does he say that? Why does he say it's more blessed to give than to receive? I'll tell you why. Because that reflects the heart of God. Because God gave. What did God give? He gave his best. He gave his son for you and me so that we could be forgiven of our sins. He gave because he loves us, and love gives. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his son. That's right. And so God is love and God gives. If God is love and God gives, then love gives. Would you agree? If you love, you give. If you love someone, you give to them. You're a blessing to them. What does it mean to do that? If love gives, you can't love without giving, right? Right? And so that's the truth. That really happens. Now, let me give you an example. Are you ready? I'm going to give you an illustration. I like action movies. Okay, that's what I like to see, right? My wife, Laura, likes romantic movies. That's what she likes to see. I love my wife, Laura, more than I love action movies. So what do I do sometimes with her? I watch romantic movies because that's just the kind of guy I am, okay? In fact, I have seen Downton Abbey multiple times. If you want to know about Downton Abbey, I'm your guy. I know all about it. In fact, I love Laura so much, I took her to Asheville, North Carolina, and we went to the Downton Abbey exhibit several years ago. And we went in and we saw all the different sets, the rooms. And we saw all the costumes. And we saw all the facts and information about the actors and actresses. I took her over there and we did whatever she wanted to do. We just looked around there at Biltmore, looked at Downton Abbey stuff. Why? Because love gives, right? And so, that, you know, if you want to know if your husband loves you, just ask him to take you to the Downton Abbey exhibit, okay? And wait till it's in Europe. And see how that works out, okay? Because what does love do? Love gives. And we want to talk about giving and generosity. God is a generous God, amen? He's a graceful God. He gives us his grace. He gives us his love. He blesses us abundantly, more than we can ask, think, or imagine. So we're grateful. So here's the deal, and this is really the truth. Many of us don't have a money problem. We have a mindset problem. It's just the way we think about it. That's the problem. And so God calls us all to give because he wants us to be like him. And it teaches us to trust him in that area of our lives when we tithe and give to him. And so we're going to look at two chapters of 2 Corinthians today, 8 and 9. And we're going to talk about that because Paul was a Jewish person who became a Christian. He was converted. And so he was focused on the Jews. But then as he shared the gospel, it was not only with the Jews that he would share, but he also, Jesus said, I want you to go to the Gentiles too. I want you to go to the Samaritans. I want you to go to the Romans. I want you to go to your enemies. I want you to tell everybody about me so that they can know me and love me. And so if you're not Jewish, you are a Gentile, okay? And so aren't we grateful that God opened the door to heaven for us too? Amen? We're so grateful that he's a graceful God. James, Peter, and John were church leaders, and they were blessed, and so they wanted to take the message to the Gentiles. And what they were saying to them is, because God has blessed us, he wants us to be a blessing to others. He wants us to give. He wants us to love. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to think of other people. Now, let me give you an example. In the Bible here, where Paul talks about the Macedonian church. And the Macedonian church was really, really poor. They didn't have anything. When I say they were poor, they were really, really poor. I'm going to show you in Greek what they were saying about them in just a minute. But yet, Paul was blown away. He was stunned. He was shocked by their irrational generosity. When you get to heaven, is God going to meet you and say, you know what? I was shocked by your irrational generosity. You've always been such a giving person. I'm just so thankful that you have that attitude. Can you imagine? And in 2 Corinthians, it says this, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. These people weren't saying, woe is me. These people weren't saying, I'm a victim. These people weren't saying, can you help me? I don't have enough. They were saying, I am filled with joy because I love the Lord and he loves me. And what I've got, he gave me, and I'm thankful to have it. And I want to give. They were begging and pleading for Paul to let them give. They wanted to give so desperately. He'd never seen anything like it. And he says to the Corinthians, I want you to look at the Macedonians. I want you to see their heart. I want you to see the spirit that these people have. I want you to see their joy. They love the Lord. And they want to give, and they want to give to his people. They want to be a blessing to other people. We could learn some things from them. There are two things about the Macedonian church. They were very poor, but they were irrationally generous. They gave. You know, now for us today, if we say we're poor, here's what our definition in America is for us to be poor. We are so poor, we can barely afford our streaming services. That's how poor we are. Just look at us poor victims. It's terrible. I mean, Hulu and Prime and Netflix, there's so much, we may have to cancel Disney Plus. It's getting desperate. I'm just telling you, we're in trouble here. And yet they lived in extreme poverty. The Greek word they're using, what they're saying is, he's comparing it to the depth of the ocean. That's how deep they are poor. That's how little they have. They just don't have anything. And yet they've got this wonderful joy. And they're so thankful. And they have peace in their lives. And the second thing was that even though they were enduring trials day in and day out, they had overflowing joy. They're just happy people. You know, I've found that to be the case many times. I used to go, and our family would go and deliver food to people at Christmas from the church. And my dad was in charge of that. And we would go places I'd never been before, homes I'd never seen, way out in the country, and they didn't have anything. And we would go in, and there'd be young people, children like me, and we would go in, and they were so grateful for anything we brought them, anything. that we just came, that we found them, and that we gave them something. They had poverty, there was suffering, but these people, they had joy, and they were generous, and they were blessed. Now, so what happens to us is, if we feel like we're victims, we get depressed, and we have anxiety, and we try to protect everything that we've got. But the Macedonians, their life was hard, but they were generous, and they were just so filled with joy, and they were happy. And, you know, they're the kinds of people that didn't have a thing, but they would just go to church and celebrate Jesus. They'd just go because they wanted to be there, and they wanted to celebrate their Lord and be grateful. For them, it was hard. It was difficult. But we see that love gives, and they wanted to give. Now, in this whole attitude about love giving, I want you to answer for yourself. Don't say anything to anybody next to you. But in your mind, I'm going to talk about two mindsets, okay? And I want you to be honest with yourself. And I want you to tell yourself which one of these two really does describe you. Which one of these are you? Because, you know, if you're the first one, there's an alternative that you might want to move to the second one. The first one is the bag mindset. The bag mindset is simply this: we don't have enough. See, what's happened for you in your mindset is, I got a bag and I got stuff in it, but you know, my bag's got a hole in it. And when I put stuff in there, it falls out the hole, then I don't have enough. And so I got this bag mindset and I just never seem to have enough. And some of you can relate to that. In Haggai, it says this: you eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes in it. And so my mindset is, I just don't have enough, and no matter what I put in my bag, it's got a hole in it. I can't get enough. I'm in trouble. I need help. And no matter what comes in, I'm just going to be left out there. That's the bag mindset. But here's the other mindset. I like this one better. And I want to recommend this one to any of us who might be in the first one. And that is the barn mindset. The barn mindset says, I have more than enough. Whatever I've got, God gave me, and he knows what I need. He's provided for my needs. I'm grateful I got enough. And in Deuteronomy, it says this: the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Now look, whatever you have, God gave you. You say, well, I got this job by myself. No, you didn't. Who gave you life? Who gave you the job? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the resources? Who gave you everything? How much of that did you bring with you when you were born? Zippo, you didn't have anything, did you? And when you leave, how much of that are you taking with you? Zippo, you're not taking any of that with you either, too, because you've never seen a U-Haul traveling behind a hearse. It just doesn't happen. And if it did, you couldn't take it with you. I know a guy in Tennessee. I know about a guy. I don't know a guy, but I know about a guy, really. He had a truck. And he loved that truck so much, he said, I'm taking it with me. And he literally had himself buried in the truck underground. He's sitting in the truck today. But he didn't take it with him. You could dig it up. Now, the truck would still be there, and there'd be a skeleton there. But he's not there anymore. And I tell you what, that truck still is. He didn't take it with him. And so the barn mindset says, hey, I've got more than enough to give. I'm so blessed. I want to be a blessing to someone else. I want to change my attitude. And what happens is, in the bag mindset, here's what happens. God gives us something. He supplies. And the first thing we do in the bag mindset is we consume. We go and we spend. We go and we get on Amazon. We click and buy. We consume. And because we consume and we spend, we don't have enough. And then what happens is that we start getting in fear because we're afraid we don't have enough because we spent what we had. That's the bag mindset. God gives it, we spend it, we consume it, we don't have enough, we're afraid, and it's a cycle, and it just goes on and on and on. But the other mindset, the barn mindset, says God supplies, and we give to him first. And then he multiplies it and blesses us because of it. And then our faith is built. And then the cycle just continues on and on. And every day we're just thanking God because we're so blessed. How can we give to other people? Why? Because love gives. And so in Proverbs it says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Now, you remember in the Bible what they would do. They learned how to do it early on. I'm going to give God the first tenth, whatever I get from the marketplace, whatever I get that's profit, I'm going to give him the first tenth, and then I'm going to live on the other 90%. And that's what he taught, and he still teaches that today. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's the first fruits. You remember Cain and Abel? One gave an offering. It was the first. The other gave what was left over. God says, hey, I want to teach you. There's a better way to do that. Now I'm just going to be mad and kill my brother. That's what he did. It didn't work out for him, okay? It wasn't the plan. And so God says, why can't you just be obedient? Why would we not trust God? All right, do you trust him with your eternity? Do you trust him with your salvation? Lord, I trust you with my salvation. I'm just not too sure you can handle my money. That's where I draw the line. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with you forever, but I'm not so sure that you know how to handle the finances. Really? How does that work? It says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Tithing. He teaches us to give the first 10%. Malachi says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. The storehouse is the place where we worship. Then it says this, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, let me ask you a question. Can God lie? Can God lie?
No.
Does he have your best interests at heart? Why did he teach us this? He wants to teach us that so we'll learn to grow in our faith. That's just an exercise. That's all that is. It's just an exercise for us to learn how to grow and trust him first with what we have. So he says, test me. I want you to bring your first. I want you to bring your best. I'm a jealous God. I want you to give it to me. We give God our first and our best, and we trust him to bless the rest, right? And that's the truth. And what you learn is, okay, now look, if I give God 10%, that means I've only got 90%, but think about it this way. If God blesses the 90%, it's really going to be better than the 100% you had in the first place, isn't it? Because God's going to bless it. I think I'll go with that plan. That's what God had. So we might learn how to trust him in that area. And then Jesus said this, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So he's teaching us to do that. Now, let me tell you something. For me, Jesus has earned the right to tell me what to do. He died for me. He paid for my sins. He bought me. I am his. And he has earned the right to tell me what to do. But more than that, he tells me for my own good. He tells me because he wants to bless me. He tells me because he's trying to help me. It's just like when you and I try to teach our two-year-old child something. We give the child, a two-year-old child, a toy. And then we take it back, and it screams bloody murder, a blood-curdling scream, fingernails on the chalkboard, so loud that it breaks your eardrum, and you go, and what do they say? Mine, 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 right? Right? And so as parents, what are we trying to teach them? No, I want to teach you how to learn to share and to give, and that's what we do when we give to the We Care ministry. We teach our children when we do it. When they see us do it, when they see us put money in there, they say, I want to do it too. They want to share because that's just the way we're wired. And so he teaches us to do that. And giving, he wants us to give our first and our best. And then what will he do? He'll bless the rest. That's the truth. Try it. Just try it. He says, try it. Test me in this. Tithing can break the cycle of scarcity. and create a new cycle of supply. You know, I don't have enough. I got a bag mindset. You need a barn mindset that says, you know what? I've got plenty. There's plenty there because God is multiplying what I give, and I'm so thankful that he does that. And he wants us to be generous. Now, look, here's what people sometimes say. They say, you know, if I can get more money, I'm going to be more generous. That's not true. Just write that down. I'm going to tell you what's really the truth. More money won't make you more generous. It will make you more of what you already are. Well, I don't want that. I want to be more like I already am. I want to be generous. So if you're a generous person and you give more, guess what? You're going to be more generous. But if you are a selfish person, it's going to make you more selfish. It's just who you are. So you got to make a decision. Which one of these mindsets am I going to have? Which one am I going to live by? Because God says, I want you to watch out for something, and it's called greed. I want you to be careful about greed, because greed is something that can take your heart. And God says, I'm a jealous God, and I want your heart. Money promises what only God can provide. You can write that down. That's the truth. God is the only one. I've been in the hospital with people on their deathbed, and they were wealthy. They had more than you could imagine. Everything that they ever needed in life financially, it was at their disposal. But guess what? When they know they're not going home from the hospital alive, all that stuff doesn't matter to them anymore. They won't talk about, I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to put God first. All that other stuff is not important anymore. And let me tell you something. No amount of money can heal you from sickness. Amen. I don't care how much money you've got. When your time comes, you're going and you can't buy your way out of it. But you can trust God. Amen. To go with you. God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. You don't have to go through this by yourself. I'm going to go through it with you. You can just take my hand and be right there with me. And you can have what money can't give you. You can have peace. Amen. You can have joy. Even in the midst of your dying, you can be blessed by God. Money is a counterfeit God. That's why God warns us about it. He said, I want you to love me first. I want you to know me first. 2 Corinthians says this, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And then by the will of God also to us. Does that sound like the kind of person you want to be? Does that sound like the kind of person that God wants you to be? He just wants you to learn to trust him in that area and realize that he is the one. Why did they do that? Why did they want to do that? Because love gives. And they had learned a lesson. They had learned about God's provision. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God has anything we need. God will provide for us. It says this, God can bless you with everything you need. He can give you the peace. He can give you the joy, even in the midst of trial and challenge. And you'll always, it says, have more than enough to do all the other good things for others, all kinds of other good things for others. You know, what he's saying is, put me first. Think of others before yourself. Learn to trust me. Give to me first. And I'm going to teach you how to balance it. You'll be better at managing your money when you do it. You'll learn how to do it. And you say, well, okay, you preach on tithing and I've listened to you, but I don't know how to do it. And I always say, well, first thing I want you to do, don't say it out loud. I want you to figure out what percentage you give. And you know what they always say to me? I don't know. Well, let's start right there. Let's figure out how much you make. Let's figure out what the percentage is. You figure it out in your head. You don't have to tell me about it. And then you give something. grudgingly, right? Because that's what the Bible says. I want you to be angry and hateful. I want you to hold on to it and not let it go. Is that what it says?
Nope.
God loves a
cheerful
giver. You've read the Bible. You're familiar with this. God loves a cheerful giver. And so he says, I want you to be cheerful. Don't give it if you're not cheerful. You're missing the point. And he says, I want you to give it to me, and then I'm going to teach you how to enjoy it, how to be blessed by it. And I'm going to, I give you what I give you, so you'll have enough to share with other people. That's the truth. That's why he does what he does, and that's what he wants us to learn. And so we don't have a money problem. We might have a mindset problem. And so when I was in college, I learned how to give a tithe, and somebody taught me about that, and I started doing it, and I figured it out, and I just returned it to the storehouse, the place where I worship, and I'm so grateful for the privilege of doing that. Somebody taught me that early on, and I've spent my whole ministry trying to teach other people about it because God is a wonderful God. Sometimes Laura and I go and we take friends, somebody we know, hey, we want to do something nice for you. We're going to take you out to dinner. Where you want to go? And they tell us, and we say, okay, great. And we get there, and we say, okay, whatever you want, get it. We're going to buy it, okay? And then what happens is that sometimes they come to the table, and I say, I need the check, please. And they say, we don't have a check. And I said, what do you mean you don't have a check? And they said, somebody in here who knew you saw you, and they bought your dinner. Well, wait a minute. I was going to do that. I was going to give. I'd buy their dinner. Well, they're gone now, but they bought your dinner, okay? That happens sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. And so we're able to give. But here's what I'm saying to you. God's paying attention, right? He keeps up with the details of our lives. And what he wants us to learn to do is just pray for a chance to bless somebody else. Just pray for a chance to do that. And you're saying, you know, if I tithe, I'm going to have to rearrange my whole life around God. Duh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get across to all of us. Yeah, do that. Do that. It'll be a blessing to you. Now listen, we've got a granddaughter. Have I mentioned her? And so she's 8 years old. And when she was really, really little, we would go to the house, and she had what she called her piggy bank. That's just what it sounded like to her, a piggy bank. And she would come to me, and she would say, buddy, buddy, I need some monies. I need some monies. And so what she meant was she wanted change, because if she had change, you would put the change in to the piggy bank, and it would play a little song when you would put it in. And when it stopped playing, she would say, I need more monies, buddy. And so I would just keep all kinds of change in my pockets. And I would just stick it in the piggy bank. Buddy loves you. See? Watch. And I would put it in there. That's how wonderful I am. And then she got older. And she learned about other kinds of money. And honey took her to the store, the department store, because her mother always shops on Amazon. And she walked in and she saw everything. You mean there are stores where you can go and see this stuff? And then she saw the perfume counter. You can go smell this? You can buy this? Wow! And they smelled it and she checked it all out and she picked out one that was really expensive. She didn't know what it cost. And she said, honey, would you get this for me? It smells really good. And she got all these samples, and she got it. And she came back to the house, because I skipped that part, okay? I was still back at the piggy bank, okay? And she came into the house, and she had all these little sticks of perfume. And she shoved them up my nose so I could smell them. And I got dizzy, and then I couldn't smell anything anymore because she was letting me, smell this one, buddy. It smells great. And we're trying it all out. And you know, ever since she did that, honey and buddy have just been furious that we spent that money on Collins. We're just sitting there saying to ourselves, how are we ever going to get our money back? Why did we go and spend money on Collins? We could have used that money. It was a lot of money. Why did we do that? Not. We're just so thankful. We're just so thankful that we get to give. Why? Because we love her. And love gives. Do you love God?
Yes, sir.
Do you really love God? One little way, just one little way, that you can show him that you love him. You can give. Why? Because you want to be obedient to him. Because he gives. And he teaches us to give as well. Why? Because love gives. Let's pray together. Father, you loved us. Help us love you back. Help us love you with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, we pray that we might love you and we might love others, that you would build our faith, that you would change our mindset, that we would learn now and forever what it means to give. Because love gives, and you're a loving God who's shown us by example what to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Who are helping me serve communion to come forward now if they would. And as they're doing that, let me just tell you that as you come to communion today, the ushers are going to direct you. And you're going to get an invitation to come and receive the Lord's Supper. When you get the invitation, you confess your sins. Lord, I'm coming. I'm going to accept the invitation. Everybody can come. I'm going to accept the invitation. But I want to confess my sins before I come, because that's what he teaches us to do. And then we're going to thank him because he forgives us of our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And when we leave today, we're going to go from this place and we're going to be a blessing to other people because we've been with Jesus. And you can't be with Jesus and it not make a difference for the better. And so we're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful for your grace and mercy. When we receive this bread, when we receive this cup, it's a symbol of your body that you gave for us. We want to thank you for it. We want to celebrate. We want to forgive. We want your forgiveness. We're going to confess our sins. We're going to accept the invitation. We're going to be your witnesses this week. Amen?
Amen.
You're invited to come. Now, look. Any money that you put in these baskets right here goes to the We Care Fund. That's our food pantry to help people in need. Over $70,000 every year, not in the budget, because of you. Thank you in advance for doing that. Also, when you leave, God's tithe and your gifts and offerings, and that's first. You give God his tithe back because he teaches 10%. You give gifts and offerings. This is after and above that. First priority is to give God his tithe first. And then give above and beyond that. And I just celebrate that with you. God bless you. You're invited to come as the ushers direct you.